The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Mark's Gospel reports the story of Jesus' baptism with some irony. The one on whom the Spirit descends is himself the one who sends the Holy Spirit. I begin reading at verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. What do you do with water? What can you do with water? How about on a hot day, you've been outside playing and you're just still hot and you're thirsty? What do? You get a glass of water? Or how about it's time to come in for supper? And your mom says, what? What do you need to do before you sit down to supper? Wash your hands. What do you use to wash your hands? Soap and water. That's right. You wash your hands up with water and soap, don't you? Let's see. What else? What else do you use water for? Do you ever water plants? Okay. You put water on the plants and that helps them to grow. Do your animals drink water if you have cats or puppies? They drink water too. How do you get your clothes clean? You wash them. What do you wash them with? With water. How about, what if you're dirty? How do you get clean again? You take a bath. What do you take a bath in? You take it in a bath in milk? No. How about orange juice? No. What do you take a bath in? In water, don't you? You take a bath in water in the bathtub. Okay. You use water for a lot of things. We have to drink it. If you don't drink any water, you will get very thirsty and you'll get sick if you don't have any water or anything to drink. And we also use water to stay clean. If we don't stay clean, a lot of times we might even get sick if we don't stay clean. And so water is very good to help us to stay well. In the church, too, water is very important because water is also used in baptism when you're baptized. I don't know if you remember seeing any of the babies baptized. We've baptized a few babies here in the last few weeks. I guess we'll have some more coming up. And the pastor, I pour water on top of their heads. Okay? And it's a sign then that God is washing us clean, that God is making us all clean once again. And it takes us then to the cross and the resurrection where Jesus died for our sins and he rose to a new life. And so when we're baptized, it's given a promise that we will live. Just like water, when you drink a glass of water, that's kind of a promise that you will live because it makes you strong and healthy. Or when you wash, that also helps you to live too. And our baptism helps us live because with that baptism comes the Holy Spirit so that we can always live with God. Okay, let us pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of water which sustains life, which gives us life.
We give you thanks, too, for the waters of baptism, which give us life in you forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, I'll go sit down.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you noticed or not this morning, but all four of our texts either deal with water or they deal with baptism, the waters of baptism. Baptism is such an important thing in our Christian lives. It always comes back to baptism because of all the symbolism and what baptism means for us. This morning is a festival Sunday. It is the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord, and we read that story in the gospel lesson this morning. And so it's a reminder, again, of our baptism, of how important baptism was as Jesus was just getting prepared to go into his ministry. In our baptismal liturgy, there is a part in there that's called the flood prayer. And if you want to make reference to it, it's on page 122 at the beginning of the Lutheran Book of Worship. It's that long prayer in there, and it's attributed to Martin Luther. And in that prayer, he talks about all the symbolism that goes on, or some of the stories that go on within the Bible of water and how God used water. And one of the aspects of that water in those stories is that water is very beneficial. It's important for our life, but at the same time, water is also very dangerous. And we know of that too. I mean, as I mentioned in the children's sermon, all the beneficial uses of water, and even on days like this when it's cold and dreary and wet and damp, we're still thankful because we know here in South Texas that we can go through long periods without having any kind of rain. And so even though it's somewhat miserable outside, we're still thankful because of that rain, because we know how beneficial it is to us. But then too, we also know the destructive side of water. If you remember back in 98, in October, with the flood that came through, I think some places had as much as 26 inches of rain in 24 hours. And the Guadalupe just flooded. The San Antonio River flooded. The Colorado River flooded. And the devastation that it brought upon the towns in its path. I know I remember driving through Cuero after that flood, and it made me want to cry to see houses out in the middle of the street, brick homes torn apart. People's lives just ripped apart by those rushing waters, by that damaging, dangerous water of the floods. In these stories, here in this flood prayer, in our baptismal liturgy, there's an aspect of that too. The flood prayer talks about, one of the first stories it talks about is the creation story, the very story that we read this morning in our first lesson, of how the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters at the very beginning of creation. That God starts with that sphere of water, of how life-giving that is. And as God created on that first day the light and the darkness, God looked back on that day and he said, "It is good." And each and every day as God creates, he looks back and he says, "It is good." On that last day when he creates all the animals and people, he looks back and he says, "It is very good." But that very goodness didn't last very long. As you know, sin came into the world. Corruption came into the world. Violence came into the world. People no longer remembered God. People cursed God, and all the sins under the sun were going on. And God says, "I need to fix this. I need to clean this up." And again, in that flood prayer, it mentions this story as well then too. That story of Noah, that God decided to wipe out all of humanity and start over, start fresh, start new once again. But he saves Noah and his family. The rest, and here's that dangerous part. He sends that flood. It rains 40 days and 40 nights, and it washes everything clean. It wipes everything out. But again, that life-giving part, Noah and his family are saved, and the world starts over once again. Starts fresh, starts new once again. And that too is like our baptism. If I don't know how far back you can remember, but if you can remember back to the days of confirmation class of what Martin Luther said about baptism, he says that our old sinful self with all its evil deeds and desires is drowned through daily repentance, and day after day a new self should arise in righteousness and purity forever. That we see in that explanation both sides of that goodness of water, that wonders of creation that water can bring, that we're brought to a new life day after day to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. But at the same time, we see that dangerous side of it, where we are drowned in daily repentance. Or another story there in the flood prayer was the story of the Israelites, of how they escaped Pharaoh's army. And you remember that story as well then too. That God sent his wind and it parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to cross safely across dry land. And as soon as they came across dry land, Pharaoh was fast on their heels and God released the waters. Again, you see that life-giving water, the water which was able to save the Israelite people so that they could go on to the promised land, but at the same time, that dangerous side of that water where it comes crashing in, destroying Pharaoh's army. Or in our lesson for today, our gospel lesson for today, again, too, you see those life-giving waters. As Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan by John, and that Spirit comes upon God in the form of a dove. And God says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." But it's the beginning of a dangerous time for Jesus, because as soon as he gets out of the waters of baptism, he immediately goes into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that, he is tempted by the devil. And that's the beginning. That's where he starts his public ministry. The waters have a life-giving side to them, but they also have a very dangerous side to them as well. And that's true for us in our baptisms. Because in our baptism, we are tied not only to the resurrection of Christ with that promise that we will live forever with him, but also that dangerous side, because we are also tied to that cross, where Christ gave his life to save us. The baptism is wonderfully life-giving, but at the same time, it is also dangerous. Baptism is not just a rite in the church where we sprinkle a little water and give a child a blessing. It is an opportunity. It is a gift that God gives to us that brings new life, that brings hope, that brings life everlasting to us. And it's not something to be taken lightly. Again, there's that life-giving side, but at the same time, there is that dangerous side. Because as Martin Luther says, that each and every day we are drowned in daily repentance. And that is dangerous. I mean, because that calls us into change. Nobody likes to change, but that calls us into change each and every day. Because the waters of baptism wash over us. They clean us. They drown us. They wash away that sinful self, that old sinful self within us. And out of that comes a new self, a new life. And if we live in that baptism day after day, that's a call to change. Do we dare to change? Do we dare to repent of the sins that we have committed? Do we dare to let go of the hatred, or the animosity, or those ill feelings that we feel towards other people? Are we willing to make an amends? Are we willing to repent? That's dangerous, because we don't know what life means after that. But yet God calls us in to be drowned each and every day in our baptisms, to be drowned in that repentance of baptism. But then, there is that promise, that life-giving promise, that we will be raised to new life, to live with Christ in purity forever, righteousness and purity forever. God calls us to the waters of baptism when they are life-giving and also when it is dangerous. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.